Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Chris Loughrey. Lori Walsh is off today. Dr. Richard Holm is known as the Prairie Doc. You can see his television program on SDPB Television tonight. And tonight's episode is titled Scratches, Sores, and Bumps on the Skin and begins at 7 Central, 6 Mountain. Joining us on the phone to talk dermatology is Dr. Holm. Welcome back to In the Moment.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Nice to be here.
Yes, let's begin today by talking about skin cancer and its seriousness.
Well, you know, it's probably the it is the most common diagnosis of cancer. Of course, the majority of cancers that I have taken care of through my practice in internal medicine is basal cell cancer. And you can see basal cell cancers throughout the body, but mostly on the face, areas where these farmers and these people have been exposed to sun all their lives. And it's a classic picture of a pearly border and a central sore that doesn't heal and it grows. But it's one of those kinds of cancer that very, very, very rarely spreads by bloodstream, you know, metastasizes. Mm-hmm. It just spreads locally. And so therefore, it's almost always easily cured by just scraping it off or excising it with a scalpel. There are other kinds of cancers, though, that are not so nice. Malignant melanoma is one that seems to be related to sun exposure, although it'll pop up under toenails and between toes and along the belt line and places that you would never have sun exposure. But it still pops up, and it seems to be related to sunburns, bad severe sunburns. And that particular malignancy, if it spreads even a little, it can pop up in the lung, in the brain, you know, widely blood spread. That's a mean-looking thing. It's dark usually, but sometimes it can be just pink. And we'll talk about that in a minute, the ABCDEs of diagnosing cancer. The third kind is squamous cell cancer, which is not as aggressive as malignant melanoma, but is similar to basal cell, except that it can spread hematologically as well, but not very commonly. 3% of the time it can spread through the blood. So those are different kinds of cancer that occur, and there's a few others that are so rare not worth mentioning. They're precancers that look like scaly parts that occur in the sun exposure, and I try to treat those as well by just kind of freezing them, doing a quick frost with liquid nitrogen, and that resolves those. So that's the kinds of cancer that you can see. There's warning signs. Have you ever seen a skin cancer?
Well, I was just going to ask you if there are any sure signs of skin cancer.
Right. Well, no, full well that sometimes people will end up, you know, you'll discover a cancer in the lung, you biopsy, and it says malignant melanoma, and you can search the body high and low and not find it. So it's one of those deals where sometimes there's no certain signs. But the clues that we have are the ABCDEs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are you familiar with those? Do you know what A means?
No, I'd like you to educate us on that.
Asymmetry, not circular, not okay. Perfectly circular, but kind of shaped like a moving blob, you know, so it has irregular character to it. So A is for asymmetry. B mm-hmm. is for border that's fuzzy. In other words, if you've got a sharp border, you're less likely to have a cancer or a malignancy. If it is fuzzy, if it's kind of a fading border that you just can't say exactly where the border is, that's a worsening sign.
Mm-hmm.
That C is for color being variable or variegated, and that means that there's several different colors to it. The last malignant melanoma that I diagnosed, there was a little brown, there was a little pink, there was a little white, there was a little black, so that you can see these different colors, and variegated color is a sign, not proof, but just a sign that you need to bring it in and be seen by a doctor or somebody who's familiar with these pictures. A, B, C, D. D is diameter greater than the size of a pencil. So the width of a pencil should say, if you can cover it by the eraser of the pencil, for example, then it's smaller and less worrisome. It's bigger than the width of the pencil, then you know that you're another reason to get on in. And finally, E is evolution or evolving nature. It's changing. It's growing. The colors are changing. It's now been sore. There's a bit that is draining now. You know, something that's different, evolving nature. So A, B, C, D, E is one method to know that it needs more attention. It may need to be biopsied or actually just removed, sent in to pathologists to look at under the microscope. And if it is a malignant melanoma, they'll come back and they'll take a wider excision. If it's basal cell, then you know you've got it, and you should have it by squamous cell as well, although there's some argument about coming back and removing those.
That's good to know. We talked about sunburn, so let's bring sunscreen into the fold. It may sound self-explanatory, but just how important is sunscreen?
Well, you know, it came to being in my lifetime. You know, we didn't have it when I was a kid growing up. I mean, did you have it? I don't know exactly how old you are, Chris.
I don't recall sunscreen when I was younger, but I have a hard time remembering yesterday.
Yeah. Well, it is very important, and I think 30 to 50 or greater is a good idea. It's a sun protective factor. And so, you know, if you put that on, you've got to be, and you've got SPF 50. You've got, for 1 hour of exposure to sun without sunscreen, you have to be under the sun's light 50 hours with SPF 50, sun protective factor 50. So let's say that it's a sunny day and you're sitting outside and there's clouds in the sky, you're under a tree, you have a broad-brimmed hat on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What sun protective factor are you protected now without the sunscreen? Do you have a guess?
Boy, I would say you're not protected.
The answer is, you know, it's a sun protective factor of like 2
okay.
or 3 maybe. It's not very much.
Mm-hmm.
People walk around with a hat and go, I'm covered. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. I don't need sunscreen on my face because I've got a broad-brimmed hat on. And the answer is all those beams from the sun that come down scattered directions as mm-hmm. by the atmosphere. And by the time it gets down to us, it's coming from every direction, bouncing off the ground, bouncing off the tree, bouncing off the sky, bouncing off the water, bouncing off everything. And, you know, you don't get a lot of protection from a broad-brimmed hat. And so that's the lesson. I like farmers who say, I'm tough, I don't need them, to just get that spray-on stuff and just spray it on one time in the morning and put it on again when you come in for lunch,
mm-hmm.
And at least get that done. It's a huge benefit to you later on in life, so you don't have big holes in your face and you don't wrinkles early. Those are the main things that I like to make that point.
If you're just joining us on In the Moment, our guest today is Dr. Richard Holmer, talking dermatology. And these days, people see other forms of tanning their skin. We're talking about tanning booths and things
yes.
like that. What about sunless lotions? Can you touch on both of those aspects?
The sunless lotions may have some protective factor, but not a ton of it,
mm-hmm.
not a lot. And the tanning booths. If you watch tonight's show with Dr. McGran,
mm-hmm.
we're going to talk about tanning booths. He goes on and on. He has no mercy. There is no love lost between the dermatologists and the tanning booth people
mm-hmm.
because it ages the skin. I
sure.
mean, it makes the wrinkles come on early. It doesn't protect as much as you would expect. And so I discourage tanning booths. I know there's a whole business world out there that encourages it and so on. But I would encourage you to watch the show tonight, 7 o'clock public broadcasting, and listen to McGran go on. I mean, it's a powerful thing to hear McGran talk about sun tanning. So I would just say those things.
Okay, so let's, if you will, let's move on to some dry skin, because this is very common. So dry skin in our neck of the woods, what can one do to help keep their skin hydrated in a healthy way?
Well, there's, you know, there's a lot said about hydration. I'll give you a couple clues.
Mm-hmm.
One clue I have discovered just by accident from the nursing home people is that there's wonderful changes that occur to the skin by the use of coconut oil. Mm-hmm. And so it's not very expensive. You can buy it at the grocery store and apparently, or at the drugstore, apparently coconut oil. Now, this is from the nurses. It's just a marvelous protector, and it helps ulcers and sores and wounds and dry skin that people who are in the nursing home experience. I like CeraVe, and there is a CeraVe ointment, which I think is particularly powerful, and it's protective like zinc oxide. It has a barrier that protects the skin from moisture that dries things out. And so on. I think that Vaseline works. The greasier the better. The problem is people don't tolerate Vaseline very well, and CeraVe is very tolerated. I like CeraVe healing lotion, C-E-R-A, capital V-E. But there are other brands of lotions that have the ceramide, which is the important ingredient that you get in CeraVe. That is a barrier. It's a protector. It's like zinc oxide ointment that you rub on the baby's behind, and no matter all of the wet diaper you have, the skin is protected from the moisture.
In just over the minute we have left, I'm curious as to what your response to this question would be. If one doesn't really take care of their skin, as we just talked about, and they do experience cracking, like I said, that's very painful. So if their skin cracks open, What should they do to heal that? Because it takes some time.
I have to admit that when I get a crack that's painful, mm-hmm. before it spreads, you know, I will cover it with super glue, and just touch it with super glue. I know that we're using super glue in lacerations. Mostly what it is you squeeze a laceration together and then you super glue the top across and it holds it together. But when you've just got a crack in the fingers, I've been super gluing those. We'll see what Jim McGrann says about that question tonight. That's an important point. What do you do with cracked fingers? I mean, if you're washing your hands a lot and you're in the healthcare field, I mean, that's my world, then you have cracked fingers, and super glue's been my help. But I'm looking forward to trying the coconut oil. I have been using CeraVe ointment and very pleased with that.
Our guest today has been Dr. Richard Holm, also known as the Prairie Doc. Let's all get together and watch this television show tonight on SDPB Television. It's 7 Central, 6 Mountain, titled Scratches, Sores, and Bumps on the Skin. It was fascinating, Dr. Holm. Thank you so much for joining us on In the Moment.
You're very welcome.